it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Jake Ferguson show coming up about 5:20 today. His fiance, Miss Cavender, going viral for impersonating him today on Instagram, doing his celebration and doing the thing where she's like mouthing the words while Ferguson's voice is in the background. You've seen that trend on social, I'm sure.
Yep.
Well, you know, they're engaged to be married. They're a power couple. And she's done it today, knocked it out of the park. We'll have to get his thoughts on that and the Jets and him leading the NFL in receptions among tight ends. He's just crushing it. He's having his best year ever, I feel like, right now. So
yeah, found pay dirt for the first time. I wonder what that kind of out-of-body experience was for him.
Yeah, that was quite a run. I think since late 2023, he had not scored, but he got back in the end zone. And that had to be a very exciting game to be a part of. So we'll have Jake Ferguson on coming up at 5:20. Flagtober 2025 starts this weekend. Tolbert Garage Door, 10 to noon on Saturday. Come get your 2025 G-Bag Nation flag, then East Dallas Diesel, Brian.
Is it 9 to 11 or 10 to noon?
I got 10 to noon and noon to 2. So
I need to be there 10 to noon.
It'll be late morning.
Okay.
Off 30
I thought
Mesquite.
It was 9 to 11, but here we are.
Tolbert Garage Door. I'm
thank
sure
you.
We'll get clarification.
Appreciate
on
no,
that.
Thank you.
I'm working off a social media post myself.
Thank you. Well, then I'll be there from 10 to noon.
All righty. Anthony Davis, quote, "I feel good. I kind of gain going into almost every season," he says on the additional 15 pounds. Davis has always been a very lean type of guy. He says, I put on so much weight over the summer. Then by the time November comes, I'm usually like 255, 258. I never want to come in at my playing weight because then I lose weight during the season and then I am too small. Okay, that's 9 to 11. Okay, thanks for the clarification on that. Yeah. Davis was also listed at 268 in February when the Mavs acquired him and Max Christie in exchange for Luka, Kleba, and Markieff Morris. So I don't know. That math's not mathing. Said he was at 268 in February, but gets down to 258 by November. I think this might be older gentleman denial. I mean, every time you tick off another decade, your body holds weight differently.
Yeah.
This one might catch him.
Well, I wonder, too, if he lost some muscle mass along the way with the eye issue. And maybe that's why he technically weighs a little bit less than what he was listed at for last year. But he looks doughier. I think that's something that could, in theory, happen. But like I was listening to Sean and RJ this morning, and Sean had some really, really incredible analysis about this that we will get to in Sounds of the Sports Day. But Bobby was researching the way Bobby does about like, have we seen articles written in the past about Anthony Davis coming in a little bit more bloated than he looked in the previous season? And that's not really the case. This feels like the first time. I'm blaming it on the retina.
So it was a detached retina, which would take away his ability to like intensely work out.
I would think
he's got to let that thing heal.
Yeah. I mean, and you could even see yesterday in his interviews, like his right eye.
Yeah.
And you can tell it's still got like the aftershock of just like that, like the blood vessels.
Yeah. I thought that,
you know,
I thought, was that from this week or was that like some sort of press that he did immediately following the surgery? No.
No, that was from yesterday.
Yeah, it's a real serious thing. And my dad dealt with that. Eric Nadel, I think, dealt with that last year or maybe a couple of years ago. I remember talking to him about that.
He did. It's been some years. It's been like a decade for him now.
But they say if you start to feel pressure or there's like, you know, it looks like you got maybe something stuck in your eye that's obstructing your view. But my dad said it felt like maybe there was some pressure where like there was sand in there. And if you wait too long, they...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't fix it. You know, it can be a real, real complicating type of deal. So if you do have those kind of symptoms, you got to, you know, head to the doctor real quick and, you know, get that handled ASAP. Davis said he couldn't do much during the offseason while he recovered from his procedure on his eye, which limited his vision. Veteran cited his history of dropping weight during the season. Says, I lose about 10 to 12 pounds very quickly during camp. I already lost 5, all the running and playing, so I'm never concerned about that. I feel great. I'm moving great, and I feel good. He's got to be, you know, good, healthy, two-way player, able to impact you consistently night in and night out to make it to when Kyrie Irving comes back and not have to make that mad scramble. I think there's enough talent here that this team could be 5-10 games over 500, maybe like, you know, 25-15 or 35-25 whenever Kyrie Irving comes back. I think that'd be a good target. What do you think? Is this an over 500 team without Kyrie Irving?
I don't think so. Because I also am not banking on Anthony Davis being super healthy. It's like, how much time is he going to be missing throughout the time that you're also waiting for Kyrie Irving to come back? I think it's a lot to ask.
Okay, so let me ask you this, because one of my favorite parts of yesterday's show was when Brian was talking with his sources, and the guy said he doesn't think Nico's going to talk soon or often this year.
No.
I think that's the smart play by the Mavs. You know, now that is a blinking light telling Patrick Dumas that he needs to move on from Anthony from Nico, because he has a GM that needs to just stay quiet to stop fanning the flames of the relationship between the fans and GM. Like, you have a dysfunctional GM if that's your situation, where the guy just has to be quiet. But as long as you're going to keep him, that's the smart idea, because I don't think the guy can say anything. I don't think he's capable of it physically to not troll the hell out of Mavs fans desperately trying to defend himself whenever he opens his mouth.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. And I think the only question I'd really want to ask him right now is, what is it like to get run up on it like a Twin Peaks and get called out for sucking?
Oh, yes. You know? Yes.
And what is your professional response to that?
That would be a good question. And
are you just door dashing from here on out? Are you just eating at home?
I think if we sent Fred Davis over there, he'd have no problem asking that question.
No, not at all. Not Fred.
Where's Nico? We got some questions for him. Let's make this thing real uncomfortable.
I guess him or KG will fire off the question.
KG too. KG and Fred in a Mavs media scrum. I love it. Dodgers just pounded their way past the Reds the last two nights. 18 runs combined. They win, even though they surrendered 9, which usually wouldn't get it done in the playoffs, especially 2 in a row. But they're so dang good offensively, and they're going to face the Phillies Saturday. Time to be determined at Citizens Bank Ballpark, Brian.
Okay, can I ask a real quick question about baseball for you guys? If the Rangers were in this situation where it was a Game 3 and you used DeGrom and you used
Eovaldi,
who would you want to be pitching Game 3 for you to try and end this thing?
Merrill Kelly.
As long as we're not in Houston, right?
Yeah.
He had the Astros number up till that time.
Yeah. It was just like in Houston. That got away from him. Hometown. Something weird.
Did you throw Jack Leiter out there?
Dawson's going to say, heck no. I mean, when you saw the way, you saw the way Jack closed the season
By the way, that was one of the best tweets I've ever seen you have, though. After the Jack Leiter, you're kind of like, hey, listen, I'm happy about sports teams. I'm really happy when there are players. I was reading that.
Is that a PR message?
No, yeah, he was basically saying, listen, I see all you guys railing on me right now, but
trust me, I like it when the Rangers are doing well. Yeah. You think I'm disappointed that Jack Leiter had a good start? I mean, he'll strike out a side, and my Twitter fires up. So I appreciate everybody out there showing me here. But I'm a Rangers fan, so please allow me to just enjoy this a little bit, okay? And let's stop pretending like your average player who was the second overall pick is the next Cy Young, okay? Great. Maybe the pick wasn't a total bust. You have an average starting pitcher who you could replace every offseason with one of about 40 dudes. No, I'm starting Merrill Kelly. Yes. And I'm wondering how healthy Tyler Mahle is before I get to Jack Leiter.
I was going to say, Tyler Mahle deserves to be mentioned here in this conversation.
That tweet goes out at 1:30 in the afternoon. I hope you guys aren't noticing right now, but
is that the easiest way to draw you off sides right now? Is a Jack Leiter situation?
I think they've gone after you more. They go after you about Dak, right?
That's true.
And then, which I and think then, is and just, here's the Jack and 10-10 Jack Leiter.
gets,
yeah,
and the heavy set athlete. No, I'm good right now. I'm in a good relationship with Twitter. I don't feel like I can get pulled off sides. You know, I'm more like consciously choosing my responses than reacting emotionally. But stay tuned. You know, we could be back in that mode at any time.
Couple of setbacks.
I thought it was awesome when I read it. I started laughing.
Well, thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
Or thank me. Yeah. I did that segment. Yeah. What are we doing? We got the top stories at three coming up next, and the C note around the corner as well. And we're back here. It's the G Bag Nation on the Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.